WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Trump says he has struck a deal with Japan on trade in which their reciprocal tariff will be 15% and they'll invest $550 billion into the U.S. This after Trump announced a trade deal with the Philippines earlier, which will pay a 19% tariff for goods entering the U.S. CBS's Kelly O'Grady on what this means for U.S. trade talks with China.
There's so much back and forth here. Yes, there is that August 12th deadline, but there's so many complexities to be worked out when it comes to chips, to the tariff rate. And we also know even when you have a framework of a deal, things tend to change very quickly. It took over a couple of years last time to get a deal done.
A couple dozen Palestinian civilians have reportedly died from malnutrition or starvation in the past few days as Israel targets Hamas in central Gaza. CBS's Haley Ott.
As Israel's military operations ramp up, hunger is at an all-time high. Soup kitchens are running out of food. 600,000 people are suffering from malnutrition, according to the Hamas-run Ministry of Health. Any hint of aid entering Gaza draws massive crowds, and along with them, chaos. Men, women, and children all trying to get flour. I got a bag, this teenager says. They know they're risking death searching for food.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says lawmakers will begin their summer break early and not vote on releasing Jeffrey Epstein files. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
What happened here, I think, really paints the picture of a Republican Party divided on this and then Democrats trying to exploit that division. The beginning of the week, the House says these are the bills we want to vote on. They have to go through the Rules Committee. Democrats on the Rules Committee say not until we get a vote on Epstein. Republicans don't even want to have that vote in the Rules Committee, so Johnson shuts it down.
President Trump again accuses former President Obama of treason of the 2016 Russia probe. This after a report from his intelligence director aimed at casting doubt on long-established findings about Moscow's interference in the 2016 election.
He's guilty. This was treason. This was every word you can think of. They tried to steal the election.
Former President Obama calls the treason allegations ridiculous and a weak attempt at distraction. Rocky Ozzy Osbourne has died. Rolling Stone contributor Joe Levy says Osbourne, who was 76, became known to a new generation of fans through MTV reality show The Osbournes.
We got to know a personal side of Ozzy, a very vulnerable guy, a bit addled seeming, but a loving guy who had trouble disciplining his kids.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public. Three preseason games, followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a four-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can. But we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're in the Madison area and looking for a cool event, check out the annual Atwood Fest. This amazing music festival features three stages, great food, and great East Side vibes. Saturday, you can catch bands like Rare Element, Mama Dig Down's Brass Band, love that name, American Scarecrows, and Madison favorites VO5. Sunday features local favorites like Steely Dan, the Jeremiah Jams Band, and the Mark Hembry Bluegrass Band. Atwood Fest takes place, you guessed it, in Madison's Atwood Hood this Saturday, July 26th from noon to 10 p.m. and Sunday, the 27th, from noon to 7:30. Who doesn't love a Cinderella story? Especially when it's literally a Cinderella story. Disney is in the works for a new take on the classic Rodgers and Hammerstein story of the overworked Cinderella. The new look will be told from the standpoint of the godparents. Jennifer Lopez is attached as an executive producer, but there is no cast attached yet. The original Cinderella dropped in 1957 with Julie Andrews playing the title character. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the low 70s. And more sun than clouds for tomorrow. Hot and humid with a high in the low 90s. Heat index near 100 with the heat advisory in effect. Scattered showers and storms and hot again Thursday. Right now it's 80.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be talking about the University of Wisconsin system and K-12 public education with Trigvi Olson as guest host, State Senator Kelda Royce, and Reed Galen. Join them.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlau.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jaji. Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now at cause-cart.shop and search Native Roots to find your resist gear. Pinigigi for all your support. I should say that again. Cause-cart.shop.
That's like a tongue twister here. And I have a jet lag and I'm a little sleepy, and I know it's hot out here, Jaleesa. And
it's so hot, yes.
It's making me a little sleepy. Hey, do you have any word for the day, or would you like to say your name and maybe tell people what Ho-Chunk word of the day, and tell people what your name is, or either way, I would
ahead. Yeah, let's do that. Let's start with that for sure today. My native name, my Ho-Chunk name, is Chashuk Wakaha Winga. And so if you break that down, that means Holy Eagle Woman. My Choka Curtis and Tega, or my cousin Dallas, they gave me that name through ceremony. And so the Winga is one way to say woman in Ho-Chunk. I actually looked this up on the app. There are other ways to say woman. But Winga is one way to say woman. The Chashep is just plain eagle. So there's other words to specify bald eagle and that kind of thing. But Chashep is eagle. And then the Wakaha is some type of like way to say spiritual or holy. You know, obviously some words don't translate directly to English. And I think it was actually kind of funny. This is kind of a funny fact about the Wakaha part. Cousin Dallas said, you know, be very careful. You don't just say Waka, because Waka means snake in Ho-Chunk. So there's a few words for you all today. So you'd be that very is. Specific.
That's awesome. And one of the things too that's embedded in your name is our clan. And
yes.
That's really important, and really important for a lot of reasons. You don't want to marry anyone that's in your clan. And so, you know, things like that. So you always, like, when you go to those powwows and you're interested in somebody, you go, what clan are you in? Ho-wah.
Exactly. That's like the running joke, because it's true. If your clan, you know, your clan is really your family, right? So yeah. What clan are you? And if someone doesn't know, it's like, well, fine, you know, hopefully they know their clan.
Right. Well, and that's interesting too. Just a little tidbit about Ho-Chunk too, that we were way down in the number of people because of, you know, we had our own Trail of Tears, about six of them. We were moved all around, you know, the five state area here, and starting in Wisconsin, but we'd been all over living until the settlers came here and tried to move us off our land, which they were successful for. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, we've been here for 10,000 years, but we also, it's really important to know what clan you're in. And what I was going to say, I just forgot. You just watched me forget what I was going to say. But what I was going to say is that we're related to so many people because we were so less of us. You know, Ho-Chunk, I think there's 8,000 citizens of Ho-Chunk, and another, our relatives in Winnebago, there's another 3,000 people there. But we were down to 700 people at one time.
Wow. That's actually so fascinating.
It is.
We're lucky we're still here.
Hey, we got to get our guest on here, and hopefully Gabby has a camera here. We're going to add her to the show here. And there's Gabby right now. Introduce yourself, Gabby.
All right. Bojo Jayak. My name is Gabby Manuman. My Potawatomi name is Kwekobnok. I come from the Bullhead Clan. But I'm here today as a staff member of Wakan Tipi Owangapi, so a native-led environmental nonprofit based out of St. Paul, Minnesota here.
Yeah, there's been so many fun things. I remember when Wakan Tipi kind of was still the Bruce Vento, and I brought students down there, and we went down there and planted sage and some berries, and I can't remember what else, but I've heard that that was quite a few years ago, but I hear some of it's growing now.
Yep, the sage is doing beautifully down there. I just saw it the other day. It's getting really tall right now.
Yay. So tell our friends, and Jaleesa, you can chime in too, Gabby, is that we don't pull the sage out. We put tobacco out, and if you have a knife, you can cut it like 4 inches above it so it comes back.
Yeah, that's what I was taught. That's what I'm seeing is working the best, and to keep, you know, the population sustainable. And obviously, you know, just taking what you need as well. We've been trying to teach people about, you know, how to properly harvest plants in our medicine garden. So I'm glad to see that it's also working down at the sanctuary as well.
Excellent. Hey, Gabby, there's a BioBlitz event coming up. I don't know what that is. Tell our listeners, and let's get it out there to the community.
Yeah, so we have this is our second year doing this event, our annual BioBlitz at Wakan Tipi. And so a BioBlitz, it is a big citizen science data collection event. And it looks different depending on who's putting it on, but the way that we run our event is we invite a number of different environmental professionals, people who are, you know, experts in areas such as bees, dragonflies, trees, vegetation as well, a number of different environmental professionals. And we have them lead these like survey stations with community members, participants, and, you know, just trying to learn how to identify the different species that are living down at Wakan Tipi. And so really this is for anyone with any level of experience in the outdoors, with identification, any age levels as well. All of our partners that are going to be coming and running stations have experience working with community and making sure that people are, you know, learning and having fun as well. So the date for this is August 2nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll have lunch for folks as well, which is going to be really fun. And we're just hoping for like a really fun day, trying to figure out who's all living down at Wakan Tipi.
Wow, that's cool. That's very cool. I have a question because we have a bee garden in our front yard here. We're inner city. Are there different kinds of dragonflies?
Yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of dragonflies. I don't know how many exactly, but if you come to the BioBlitz, the Dragonfly Society, who's leading the dragonfly surveys, they'd be able to tell you all about the different species. And I know something that I learned from them is there's actually a couple migratory species of dragonflies as well. You know, kind of similar to birds, they migrate down south in the winter.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, like, my dragonfly is kind of a city dragonfly. Wraps and things like that. So that's very cool. You know, we only got a minute left here, Gabby, and we want you to come on here and talk more about Wakan Tipi and the history and things like that. We're really excited to have you on. And I know good things have been happening over the years down there, so we're excited to talk about Wakan Tipi. Hey, Jaleesa, we're going to be right back after this short break.
Yes, stay with us, everyone.
Hey, Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we have our new friend, Gabby, on the line with us, and we're talking about Wakan Tipi and what's going on here in the BioBlitz and the difference between a inner city dragonfly and maybe a migratory country one that likes country music. Welcome back, Gabby.
Yeah, hi, thanks.
So let's let everybody know again, it's August 2nd, the BioBlitz, and where it is and what time.
Yep, so August 2nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it's going to be down at Wakan Tipi, the place formerly known as Bruce Bento Nature Sanctuary. I think the best address to send people to in Google Maps so it doesn't drop you off right in the middle of the interstate is 293 Commercial Street in St. Paul.
Very cool. So there's a lot of history with, and you just mentioned that it was originally named Bruce Vento Sanctuary, and Bruce Vento is a big Democrat, former teacher, and a representative for many, many years here. Talk about the name change, and I know that's been really, just came up here recently that the name was changed officially.
Yeah, so the name change... So that recently just happened, what, a little over a month ago. So we, the sanctuary that we work in, you know, previously was called Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary after it was transferred from railroad property to City of St. Paul Parks and Rec property. And like I said, about a month ago, St. Paul City Council officially renamed it to Wakan Tipi to, you know, reflect the sacred site that lies within the sanctuary.
Yeah, it is a sacred site. And I know there's those birthing caves and there's a lot of things going on. And it's below like Mounds Park, which I think they changed the name to Mounds Park, too, didn't they?
Yep, we chahapi.
And that's a Lakota Dakota word, correctly? Correct?
Yep. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Wow, Jaleesa, that's exciting. I know you're living in Minneapolis now, but you've lived in St. Paul before, and Wakan Tipi's got it going on. What else would you like to talk about, Gabby?
Yeah, I think maybe another update. The Wakan Tipi Center is still under construction. I know people in the community are anticipating, you know, being the building being open. And so, you know, construction, you know, still ongoing. Knock on wood, you know, we're going to be able to move into the building sometime in September. And we're hoping to do a kind of community, you know, volunteer day on October 11th, you know, get folks out to the site and see the building. And, you know, hopefully another larger community gathering sometime in 2026 to officially open the building. So I just wanted to give that update just because I know people are very, very excited about the building opening.
How big of the building is, and remind our listeners that you guys had to do a lot of fundraising. So it's not just going to be like a shed out the backyard. It's already got a lot of beautiful things. I've heard. I've been trying to sneak down there with Barry Hand and Maggie to show me what's going on, but our schedules haven't jived. Talk a little bit about the process and how big the building's going to be.
Yeah. So this has been a very long-term project. I think it's been going on for over 10 years, I know. But the building, it's about 7,500 square feet. We have a teaching kitchen in the building. We have our office spaces for us Wakan Tipi staff. There's going to be a pretty big classroom space in there as well, a little conference room. And outside of the building, there's a lot of amazing landscaping planned as well. We have a Four Sisters garden that we're going to be planting next year. A lot of medicinal and traditional food plants as part of the landscaping. We're calling it the teaching gardens outside of the building as well. And so really this building is going to be a place of homecoming for Dakota and other Indigenous people to, you know, have a space when they come visit the sacred site, for community to come and host their events, host ceremonies, host meetings, things like that. And really a home for us as an organization as well.
That's awesome too, and what I really like too, being a lifelong St. Paul person, is that this is happening in St. Paul, and I know all the work that's been put into. Do you know? And this is way before your time, Gabby, but do you know how much topsoil they had to bring in there? Because, like you said early on, it was first a railroad place, so that was very polluted.
Yeah, so my understanding, the like if you were to go down to the sanctuary right now, the gated section that the construction project is in, I think about 4 feet of soil was removed from the site, and then 4 more feet was brought back of clean soil. There's other portions of the sanctuary that have soil that was removed and remediated and clean soil brought in. But yeah, that's kind of the soil situation there. And I mean, it wasn't just the railroad that contributed to pollution. There was an oil refinery on site in the past. It was an unofficial city dump. So, I mean, the sacred site has been through a lot, and there's a lot of healing that has been, you know, taken into consideration and implemented, but there's still a lot of work to be done as well.
Wow, that's some really good background information. Jaleesa, do you have any questions? Because that's amazing that they can do that. And there's a lot to be done, you know, when you take that that much dirt out of there and then bring in clean 4 feet of clean dirt through the whole place.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, all of this is just great information. I guess I'm just curious, Gabby, about you. How long have you worked there and how's your experience been?
Yeah, so I've been working with Wakantipia Wayankapi for about 2.5 years, actually back when we were still called Lower Phalen Creek Project.
Oh, sure.
And funny thing, actually, before I started working, I was a garden steward in the medicine garden up at Rivoli Bluffs. So I was a volunteer before I became a staff member. And Maggie nabbed me up right at the end of my the classes I was taking for my master's degree. And so I was like, okay, I'll stay here. I won't move back to Wisconsin. I'll stick around here and, you know, see what it's like. And I've loved it ever since.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I mean, honorable too, to be a volunteer. And then, you know, as a person that's hiring too, to hire somebody on that had already been volunteering just makes sense. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe you'll start cheering for the Vikings now that you're here. Oh, wow.
I have, but don't tell my family. They're all Packers fans.
Yeah. I have my Vikings earrings on right now. Okay. for our listeners, they're light purple and light gold. So,
well, we have to be careful, Gabby, because we're on 20 stations in Wisconsin too. So we have to play nice. We have to play nice, but you get a lot of street credit being a Potawatomi person. So, where did you get your master's in?
I got my master's degree at the University of Minnesota here in the Twin Cities.
Nice. Yeah.
It's in tribal natural resource management, and it was actually a new track that was brought on as part of like the natural resources master's program that they have over there. And that was like halfway through my program that they introduced that, and I was already doing the classes for it anyways. So I got to switch over to that because, I mean, it was the most applicable to what I was interested in and what I wanted to do in my career. So.
Oh, incredible.
That is incredible. And I'm a gopher too. So go Gophers. Ho, wow.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. So this is really interesting, really cool to get to know you. And I just think the work down there is really cool. And it's cool that, am I saying cool too much, Jaleesa? I have jet lag. I came back from New York here and I'm a little punchy here, but that's a whole nother show. And then later on, we're going to have Jace Rowe on Auntie Jace. So we're going to have a lot of fun there. Gabby, do you have any, what I was going to ask you is, do you have any word you want to let our listening audience know, a Potawatomi word or anything like that, or your native name?
Yeah, so I can introduce my clan. So my clan, I'm from the Bullhead clan, which is a fish. And how we say that in Potawatomi is Wasi. And I know Ojibwe folks, some communities, they say Awasi. But, you know, Potawatomi, we took out a lot of vowels compared to our Ojibwe relatives. So just Wasi for us.
So like Ho-Chunk's kind of close to a Siouan language, but I always tell the Dakotas that they got their language from us, but they don't get happy when I say that. So yours is kind of a Ojibwe down in that way?
Yeah, so it's Ojibwe, Odawa, and Potawatomi. We all have really, really similar languages. I mean, we were all one people back on the East Coast before, you know, we migrated over to the Great Lakes here.
Mm. Right on. Hey, we got a minute left. Can you give everyone the date again about the BioFest and how people can find you, maybe a website and Facebook?
Yep. So the BioBlitz is August 2nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Wakantipi, or formerly Bruce Bento Nature Sanctuary. You can find out more information on our website, wakantipi.org/events. And you can register there, and I'll make sure to save a lunch for y'all if you register.
Oh, right on. You know, I'm always up for a free t-shirt and free food.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK. CBS News Brief. President Trump cuts trade deals with Japan, the Philippines, and Indonesia. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
Over 99% of goods, of U.S. goods that are sold to Indonesia will have no tariff. Mm-hmm. So that's really important if you're working in the agriculture industry and you haven't had access to that market.
As Israel targets Hamas in Gaza, the U.N. Secretary General calls Gaza a horror show. CBS's Haley Ott reports.
Over the past 3 days, 21 children have died due to malnutrition and starvation.
Special Envoy Steve Witkoff is expected to travel to Europe this week to press for an Israel-Hamas ceasefire. The House is leaving Washington early for August recess amid a push by Democrats and some Republicans for a floor vote on the Jeffrey Epstein files. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
The president has said clearly, and he has now ordered his DOJ to do what it is we've all needed DOJ to do for years now, and that is to get everything released. So they're in the process of that.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public, 3 preseason games, followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can. But we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Okay, Sandler fans, buckle up. Happy Gilmore 2 is on the way, thrilling golf and comedy fans across the world. Adam Sandler recently told Collider there were serious rewrites of the script due to the passing of Carl Weathers, who played Chubbs Peterson, Gilmore's mentor in the first film in 1996. Weathers passed away last year from a heart attack, forcing the production of Gilmore to adapt. Sandler says there are many tributes to Chubbs in the second installment. Happy Gilmore 2 drops on Netflix Friday, July 25th. Sad news from the world of Ted Lasso. At least if you're a certain actor. Apple TV announced Monday that Jamie Tart will not be lacing them up for AFC Richmond. Actor Phil Dunster will not return in the role, at least not as the series regular. Deadline reports that the actor had already taken a role in a still untitled HBO show with Steve Carell, creating a scheduling conflict. Season 4 of Lasso is currently filming in Kansas City. You heard that right, not in the UK. There is no release date announced yet for the new season. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, warm and muggy with a low in the low 70s. And more sun than clouds for tomorrow. Hot and humid with a high in the low 90s. Heat index near 100 with the heat advisory in effect. Scattered showers and storms and hot again Thursday. Right now it's 80.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, I'll be in Madison, and we'll talk about how declining enrollment in Wisconsin schools is exacerbated by state aid that doesn't keep up with inflation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, awesome. We have our friend Jace Rowe on. So excited. You know, Jace, I want to introduce you as like one of the most positive people that I follow on any kind of format, whether it's Facebook or TikTok or Instagram. I really appreciate coming on and appreciate you for being you.
Nais, I really do appreciate this opportunity, and I thank you for the compliments. It's wonderful to be here, and I'm grateful to be back. And having a voice is just so wonderful and a platform to spread positivity, especially in these times where there's a lot of messaging out there, I feel like, meant to divide us and meant to keep us in fear. I think it's important to remind people to chase your happiness and find those pockets of joy. It's part of self-care. You know, joy is resistance. That's what I keep saying over and over again.
Absolutely. And you know, I didn't realize this, but I've been really following you a lot lately since you were on our show a couple weeks ago, is that you are a pretty good dancer. Oh,
you know, what better way to start the day out and like while you're waiting for your coffee and just start dancing? And I think that like releases like endorphins, and it's just fun to like get other people involved and have people tell me, you know what, I started dancing too in the morning, and I started like enjoying your music that you pick out, and I love it. I don't think I can dance, but I sure try.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome, and I can't dance very well either. Can I, Jaleesa? I'm not a very good dancer.
Actually, Jad, you can dance. And I think it's not one of those things where you can or can't, right? It's just our own expression. It's all.
Right. You just let the music move you. That's you just move with the groove, and you just find your groove, and you just start dancing. I like that phrase, dance like nobody's watching. And that's kind of what I roll with when I just press like record. I just dance like nobody's watching, and I just have a fun time with it. And I kind of got over that embarrassment. You know what I'm saying? I think once you get over that, you're able just to kind of get in the moment.
You know what's interesting too? I just realized this, that both of you work in the community, and Jaleesa, you are a drug and alcohol counselor too, and especially specializing in Native American clients, and Jace, you are too. And I always want to ask, what do you do? And I'll start with you, Jace. What do you do? And I know, and this is for our audience that doesn't know you. What do you do to take care of yourself? And I really always like asking that.
I think talking about it, talking about whatever I'm going through with my fellow coworkers. Today, I can give an example. You know, we stay with our clients for X amount of time, and they our hope is that they graduate, right? And our program, they can stay for about a year if they'd like. And I just had a client that was with us for a long time graduate today. And it pulled at my heartstrings. It really did, because it's the ending of a chapter where you're working with them day in and day out, and you're talking with them, you're checking in with them weekly, and they go on to the next phase of their recovery. And that's when we got to break ties and say, okay, I wish you the best of luck. And that's hard at times. And so today I was struggling a little bit, and I was able to talk to my coworkers about it, and, you know, talk through it. And then also coming home and remembering to leave work at work as much as I can and focus in on my hobbies, you know, social media. I have a beautiful garden here. We have a beautiful boulevard garden here that I love tending to. I love the flowers this time of year. And getting out in nature, I think, really helps me out a lot. And remembering that this is just part of the job. Like, I'm here to help. I'm here to be a helper among helpers. And hopefully just wish them well on their journey, and know that, you know, they're going to be coming back for aftercare. I'm going to be able to see them, and I'm going to be able to continue working with them on a limited basis. But knowing that that's part of the job is just, you know, we got to close some chapters and have those boundaries and reinforce those boundaries for not only for my own health, but for theirs as well, so they can continue on their journey and form those other relationships and continue, you know, with their recovery. So it's a lot at times, though. It can pull at your heartstrings, that's for sure. If you're not practicing self-care, I think a job like this will burn you out awfully quickly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know, Jaleesa, one of the good things I love about my daughter here is that she has really good boundaries, and what you do, you really do. And that's good. What else do you do, Jaleesa?
Yeah. I mean, boundaries, when I think of boundaries, I think of balance, right? And I say this to my clients all the time, and I say this to myself, and I talk about it with my coworkers. Like Jay said, I think that's a great example. I mean, I'm in what we call case consult meeting every day. And it's really very supportive environment. I'm very lucky that I have such good directors and coworkers. But yeah, to talk about it and to really be able to just be yourself in a appropriate, you know, professional environment with your coworkers, because you can't really put that on the clients, right? So I think that's such a great example that I do as well. But yeah, with back to boundaries, I mean, just a balance. I mean, we're all so different, right? Some of us thrive so well on being extremely busy, right? Some of us thrive on working 40 to 50 hours. Some of us, like myself, you know, I actually work only 32 hours. And then I'm able to have a little bit more time for like my artistic things and be home a little bit more and things like that. So like I had to find my balance and then know when to say no, but also just be a hard worker too. Know when to say yes as well.
Yeah, really.
I like that 32 hours. I do. I actually work Monday, Tuesday. I have Wednesdays off, and then I work Thursday, Friday, 4-day work week. And I think for me, like you said, balance, that really does give me time to work on my other hobbies or just have a day of like mental health care, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do too. I do Tuesday through Friday. So instead of Wednesdays like yourself, I have Mondays off. But you know, I mean, you're an artist, Jace. I'm an artist, Josh, you too. It's like we fill our time so quickly. And it's like, you know, what's so great for me, and maybe I can speak for both of you too, it certainly seems this way, is that our work doesn't feel like work, and everything's so intertwined, right? So it's like, we're artists too. And then we're using those skills to help people. And then, like you said, you know, just being joyful, that's another form of, you know, for us, resistance, right? Mm-hmm. And I was going to say too, you know, when my Jaji over here, Robert, when he introduced and said, you're one of the most positive people, I would like to add, you're one of the most positive people and also one of the most realist people. So I love that about you. What a great balance to have that joy and spread that to everybody. And also just be really upfront and real about some things that are going on in our nations.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah.
I do.
That is a great point. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this the last time or the time before you were on, and that's that we have to keep things straight in our own community too, whether it's, you know, lateral oppression and things like that, or, you know, we can go anywhere from, are you enrolled? Are you real Indian? Are you a inner city Indian? And those things, for me, roll off my back, but they also are very hurtful to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think I face that, especially a lot with my clients too. I feel like sometimes they come in and they don't feel like they're native enough, or they're right. They may not be enrolled, or they might be light skinned. And I try to really enforce the fact that, you know, if you're native, you're native, you know, whether you're enrolled or not, and whether you know the traditions or the culture or not, you're still native. This is us who we wake up as. And so we should celebrate it and enjoy the journey and learn what we can, but don't let anybody stop that. You know, just like recovery can take many different forms, but recovery is recovery. We're fighting for our lives at the end of the day. So whatever it looks like, if it works for them, I support it, you know? So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that.
That's great.
I love that. That's the opposite of being judgmental. And people get in trouble if they are too judgmental, because I know, Jace, I've been sober a while, and I know whenever I judge people, I shortly thereafter walk in their shoes. So I tread lightly now.
Yeah, it doesn't get us anywhere when we judge, right? Yeah, and I tell clients too, it's one of those things where there's two sides to it. It's if you don't know your heritage or you don't quite know what's going on, that is always okay. And that's a part of the journey. Mm-hmm. Then like I have one client that comes to my native group every Friday and he's done his best to ask his mom about his heritage, right? Well, his mom, sadly really cuts it off and says, no, ask your grandma. And in a bitter sense, because his grandma's gone. But what that has done is opened these conversations where in some form that we might not know about, that grandma and that mother have some trauma and have some deep rooted issues that now he can be around other Native people and talk about it, even though his own family members are unable for whatever trauma or whatever reason not to share that lineage with him.
So. Absolutely. I think I experienced the same thing as well. You know, my mom went through boarding school. And so when I asked her about our culture, she was like, nope, that's nothing you need to know about. That's nothing you need to concern yourself about. And in reality, she thought she was passing down what she was taught, what was ingrained in her. And it wasn't until I started learning about my culture and learning about what it meant to be Northern Cheyenne for me, that's when I started to heal and that's when I started to grow. And I started realizing where she learned this from and why it was ingrained in her. And instead of being mad at her, I actually forgave her. And that opened up a lot more doors for me. And, you know, I always tell my clients, it's a journey. And just remember, we don't get like a prize for being most Native. You know, we don't get a prize for being most sober. What we get is an opportunity to grow and heal and repair that like cycle that a lot of us were stuck in. Instead of passing it down to their kids or to their relatives, they're able to heal that and able to continue to grow as in the culture, you know, in community. And that's the opposite of addiction, is that connection and finding out who we are. And I believe that that's a beautiful journey.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. Hey, Jace, can you let people know how they can chime in and see you on the different formats? We got a minute left before we go to the next segment.
Yep, absolutely. So on TikTok, I am the Auntie Jace, and I have millions of likes, and I think I'm at like 500,000 followers, or getting closer to 300,000 followers, somewhere like that. And then same on Instagram, the Auntie Jace, and those are my two main platforms that I kind of do my videos on, and I have a following on.
Nice.
Excellent. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be back with Jace Rowe, the Auntie Jace, and Jaleesa McKee. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Rudy Luther Toyota is the dealer you can trust.
Go to RudyLutherToyota.com to browse their inventory of new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Style, performance, and reliability, you can find it all at Rudy Luther. With every new and certified pre-owned vehicle, you'll get a Luther Advantage card. Save 10 cents per gallon at the pump and get $6 Works car washes at Holiday Station stores. That's right. You can get a great vehicle and help stretch your budget even further. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, in this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Oh!
Where is it? There it is.
Oh, wow. Hey, we are here with our friend Auntie Jace, Jace Rowe, the Auntie Jace on TikTok and all your social medias. And, of course, Jaleesa McKee, who's co-hosting this. We had a really nice talk, Jace, about recovery and non-judgmental. And there's things that I've learned over the years. And one of the things I've definitely learned here that now that I'm old, I'm 64, and as I try not to sweat the small stuff and things like that, and also everything small except, you know, if somebody passes or something, that's a big thing, but everything's small, and I want to give away as much as I can in good vibes and things before I go.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful way to think. And I try to stress that every morning to just kind of take a moment for yourself every day and remember that we all have a purpose. We're all meant to be here. And I think chasing our joy, I think, is something that's very, very important. And allowing ourselves to remember not to so much focus on the past and the things that we can't control, but be in the moment. And forgiveness, self-forgiveness is a big thing, right? Forgiving ourselves and forgiving others and being able to move on into the future, whatever goals we might be working on. But I think, I think that is a wonderful goal and a wonderful thing to think about. And I, like I said, I try to remind people every day that we cannot control people, places, or things, especially right now with everything that's going on around us. And, you know, you can turn on the news and you can see doom and gloom news that's meant to instill fear into us. I think taking moments for ourselves, going for a walk in nature, being by the water or being by the trees and actually hanging out with the trees. I think they hold a lot of healing energy, and they're connecting with the earth, taking off our shoes and really grounding ourselves with the dirt or with the sand, whatever it may be, I think is a really important lesson for us to remember. And it allows us to be in the moment. And that's something I really try to stress in the morning on my lives, that self-care and taking time for ourselves is a form of resistance, is a form of not feeding into that fear and that hate and division that we see so often now, simply by turning on the TV or listening to the radio. You know, I think that's a really important lesson that was taught to me and that I try to pass down to others.
You know, what's interesting too, and I like to bring this up, you two, excuse me, I'm having a coughing attack.
Oh no.
I like to bring up the fact that, you know, we have a lot of people listening to us on progressive stations across the country here, and that you guys out there, our white allies, have been colonized too. And I want to remind them, you know, that they had their own ways and their own ways of thinking before they were colonized. And Native Americans are almost the last frontier of not being colonized totally, and we're still here. But, you know, they had the same thoughts at one time and the same feelings about, you know, taking your shoes off and feeling the land and walking around on the dirt.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important to remind people. And I try to stress that as well as, you know, find out about your own culture, find out about those traditions that may have been lost. And I feel like there's strength in that. Once you find out where you are and where you came from, you can figure out where you want to go and how to stay connected. I think that connection with the earth is really, really important, especially now. You know, you see different weather patterns. You see the heat, you know, rising every day. We have the fires up right now in Canada, you know. I think that's all evidence of us losing that connection with the earth. And I feel like that's very important for every culture to learn about and respect and get back to. So before it's too late, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Good words. I always honor my wife because she always says to me when she's on, she goes, ask Jace what he wants to talk about, or ask the guests what they want to talk about. So we got a few more minutes here. I'd love to hear what you'd like to talk about, you know, and maybe give us, if you want, a little preview of what you do early in the morning with your followers.
Okay. You know, that kind of being put on the spot.
Sorry. Well, we don't have to do that. I don't want to put you on the spot. I just enjoy you and enjoy your positivity and things like that. But if there's anything you'd like to talk about, or Jaleesa too, you have any questions? I know you guys know each other for a while here in a professional.
Well, I wanted to respond to what Jason just said too, because I thought that is so, the two side, you know, kind of going back to my theme of balance, in terms of being Native or even not having Native lineage to this land. And, you know, people feel so disconnected, but I encourage them to do the work, you know, to look into your lineage as best you can. And then, you know, divulge. I think a lot of people feel disconnected to their own culture, or specifically, you know, I can speak from my own of Native culture, Ho-Chunk culture, because they haven't put in the work into it as well. So I talk about that a lot with my clients too, of saying, and, you know, just my peers and things like that too, but to say it's okay, you know, wherever you're at, but now let's get connected. Let's start going to powwows. Let's start showing up. Let's start introducing ourselves. And, you know, maybe that's pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone, and that's a good thing. So I love that, even other cultures. And I actually encourage my white folk clients to also learn about the Red Road and Native culture. Because I always say, hey, we're all connected to that culture because it is the people of this land. So that's also your history, too.
Well, yeah, just like the medicine wheel, right? We have the four colors. And once we all come together, we can form that wheel and start learning from each other and learning from every culture has a role to teach. That's what I've been taught. And so I think once we are able to open up our mind, we can learn from each other and we can grow and we can heal. But I think being open-minded is the big thing there as well. And knowing that I think in a lot of ways, sometimes our culture has been romanticized. And so I think once we get past that romanticism, I think people are more open to learn about their own culture and to grow from that. And I think that's a wonderful place to be. I think that, you know, having pride in where you're from, because your people, everybody's people, you know, had struggle in order for us to be here today. And I think that's healing to learn about whatever culture or whatever race you're from.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I guess I was trying to say those words. See, Auntie, you took the words and regurgitated them in a good way here, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
Again, well, we're down to the last minute and a half here. Please let our listeners know again, because some of them may be driving. We're on, you know, the radio and maybe driving, but how people can connect with you and your good words daily and just the positive vibes.
You know, I go live every morning here on TikTok. I go live and at 6:30 on Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. I go live from 6:30 until about 7:45 or 8 o'clock. And I read some meditations. We do a smoke cleanse. I do a Zen meditation. I do a guided meditation. I read out of meditation books. I usually talk for a little bit. I talk about current events. I talk about pop culture. And I've grown quite a following, which is really nice. I have a lot of regulars that come in every day, and we just have a good time. And so on Wednesdays and on the weekends, it's
real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK, Maggie Dawn.
I got two special guest hosts tomorrow, and they'll be talking with Pete Schwabo of Nightlight and Jim Santel of Amicus, a law review. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabo,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The country's midsection is expecting feels-like temperatures over 100 degrees. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
I fear that heat-related illnesses are going to increase significantly during this particular heat outbreak, and it's a combination of the high heat and humidity not only during the day, but nighttime as well.
Black Sabbath frontman Ozzy Osbourne has died at age 76. Rolling Stone contributing editor Anthony DeCurtis.
Black Sabbath defined a sound and a style that goes on to this day. Ozzy was driving that.
The second highest ranking official at the Justice Department says he plans to soon meet with Ghislaine Maxwell about the case involving convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
We don't know a lot about when and where this interview will take place, though her lawyer said publicly that she's open to it.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.